Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Material Enjoyment, text number 43, is it right? Yes. Yodushya Jandara Sutan. Jaho yuvaiva malavat Uttama shloka lalasaha Yodushya jantara sutam Surit rajam ridi spishaha Jaho yuvaiva malavat Uttama shloka lalasaha Yodushya jantara sutam Surit rajam ridi spishaha Jaho yuvaiva malavad
The same Judd Bharat,
who was formerly Maharaj Bharata,
the son of Maharaj Rishabdev,
Dushyajam, very difficult to give up. Dharasutam,
the wife and children,
or the most opulent family life, Surit,
friends and well wishers,
Rajam,
a kingdom
that extended
all over the world.
Ridhi Sprishaha.
That which is situated
within the core of one's heart.
Jaho.
He gave up.
Yuva Eva.
Even as a young man.
Malavat.
Like stool.
Uttama shloka.
Lalasaha,
who was so fond
of serving
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
known as Uttama Shloka.
That's interesting.
While in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharata gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and an enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharata was so exalted that he gave them up just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of his majesty. But the name of God is Krishna, because he is so attractive that the pure devotee can give up everything within the material world on his behalf. Maharaj Bharata was an ideal king. instructor, and emperor of the world. He possessed all the opulences of the material world, but Krishna is so attractive that he attracted Maharaj Bharata from all his material possessions. Yet, somehow or other, the king became affectionate to a little deer, and falling from his position, had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Due to Krishna's great mercy upon him, he could not forget his position, and he could understand how he had fallen. Therefore, in the next life as Jat Bharat, Maharaj Bharat was careful not to spoil his energy, and therefore he presented himself as a deaf and dumb person. In this way, he could concentrate on his devotional service. We have to learn from the great King Bharata how to become cautious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. A little inattention will retard our devotional service for the time being. Yet, any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Svalpam yasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Bhayat. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 40. A little devotional service rendered sincerely is a permanent asset. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 17, Chakva Svadharmam Charanam Bhujam Hareya Vajanna Pakvota Patetato Yadi Yatrakva Vibhadram Abhuddha Mushyakim Kovarta Apto Vajatam Svadharmataha. Somehow or other, if one is attracted to Krishna, whatever he does in devotional service is a permanent asset. Even if one falls down due to immaturity or bad association, his devotional assets are never lost. There are many examples of this. Ajamil, Maharaj Bharata, and many others. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving everyone a chance to engage in devotional service for at least some time. A little service will give one an impetus to advance and thus make one's life successful. In this verse, the Lord is described as Uttama Shloka. Uttama means the best, and Shloka means reputation. Lord Krishna is full in six opulences, one of which is reputation. Aishvarasya samagrasya viryasya yasasa suyaha. Krishna's reputation is still expanding. We are spreading the glories of Krishna by pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna's reputation 5,000 years after the battle of Kurukshetra is still expanding throughout the world. Every important individual within this world must have heard of Krishna, especially at the present moment, due to the Krishna consciousness movement. Even people who do not like us and want to suppress the movement are also somehow or other chanting Hare Krishna. They say the Hare Krishna people should be chastised. Such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement. But the mere fact that they want to criticize it gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and this is its success. Om Agana Timirandasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatitva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangunam Gayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram. Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has a brilliantly effulgent form. He is known as Bhagavan. Prabhupada makes his point here. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasasasriyaha. So he has all opulence. All beauty. All fame. Yasasa. All wealth, all knowledge, all strength, all renunciation. So, very beautiful and attractive. You know, there was a gentleman they used to call Mr. Atlas, I think it was. Was it Mr. Atlas or Mr. Universe? He lived in Melbourne, and he used to pull trams with his teeth. Yeah. They would drive trucks over here in the beach at South Melbourne. He would have crowds come to see him pull a tram with his teeth. So he was attractive because of his strength. When I was a very young boy, 5, 6, 7, John F. Kennedy, JFK, was very attractive. He was a leader, famous. Influential, powerful leader of the United States. Of course, his tragic history is a demonstration of how flickering and fleeting material existence is. And so, you know, his influence, his power was diminished when he was shot in public. His wife, Jacqueline Kennedy, was very beautiful. She was also, you would see her on the, you know, in the, there would always be articles in the Women's Weekly. And of course, she became later on famous because she married Aristotle Onassis, who wasn't particularly beautiful, but he was very wealthy. So these personalities all demonstrated, you know, they were sought after and attractive because they had these various opulences. So Krishna has all opulence in full, and so therefore he is considered the most attractive with a Satchit Ananda Vigraha, with a form of eternality, knowledge, and bliss, fully endowed with all of these qualities and characteristics, so therefore he's the most attractive. And because of that attractive nature, those who are followers, those who are servants of Krishna, they're able to give up anything and everything for service to the Lord. There is nothing more satisfying and fulfilling than to render service to Krishna. And that service to Krishna is actually the most powerful thing, because that even conquers Krishna. Think about it, very powerful. Service to Krishna. And so the devotees pray, please engage me in your service. When the devotees are offering prayers, they generally desire service to the Lord. You know, people go to church to pray to God to fulfill their desires, usually. Give me a house, give me money, give me influence, give me all of the things that Krishna has, right? But generally that's selfishly motivated, even though there's a recognition of a higher authority, there's a recognition of God. A devotee in that mood wants God to be his servant. But a much higher relationship, or a much higher sentiment and mood of a more advanced or exalted devotee is that the devotee doesn't want anything. He's happy and satisfied just to offer service to Krishna. And in that mood, the devotee is actually able to conquer Krishna himself. Because the devotee isn't concerned about his own well-being, but is concerned about the well-being of others. So we see an example here of Maharaj Bharata. And why Maharaj Bharata is a very exalted personality, illustrated in the Bhagavatam. And it's interesting, in the Bhagavatam, we mentioned this the other day, the conversations, the discussions are not just about the life of various devotees, but the lives of various devotees in various incarnations or in various manifestations. And this is one of the reasons mentioned here why Maharaj Bharata is such an exalted devotee. Because by the strength of his devotional service, he was able to renounce everything because of his attraction for his service and because of his attraction to Krishna. He was able to give up those things that everybody usually is striving for, right? A beautiful wife, a beautiful family, fame, power, influence, all the things that generally people are attracted to. But more powerful was his renunciation, right? His dedication and his service to Krishna. And because of that level of attraction for Krishna, he is recognized as a very exalted personality, despite the fact, or even though, he fell from his devotional service for some time, right? And that's illustrated by his bhakti. And this is why, you know, we need to look at the bhakti. We need to look at the internal, we need to look at the heart of a devotee to work out how advanced they are. Even if there are some discrepancies. Even if there are some discrepancies. And this is a challenge at the moment. I think devotees are struggling with this notion of identifying the devotee and understanding the faults or the what may be discrepancies in a person's character, because Maharaj Bharat became attracted his devotional service was deviated because of his affection for the deer, right? And despite the fact that that was a measure of his soft-heartedness as a devotee, it still deviated him, right? So that what happened? He then had to take birth in the animal species, which is considered to be a very, very fallen situation. And why is a birth in the animal species a very fallen situation? Because, you know, you forget who you are. The animal species of life is a very covered condition for the living entity. More covered is to be, you know, born as into the plant species, or, you know, you can go lower. So, you know, the symptoms of life are there, but the development of an elevated consciousness and an understanding of one's spiritual identity, which is the real purpose of the human form of life. The real purpose of the human form of life is not to pursue the sense gratification that's available for the animals. Rather, the human form of life is meant to satisfy or meet the needs of the body, but at a level that doesn't distract or doesn't complicate things so much that you can't pursue your spiritual life. The real advantage, the real boon of the human form of life is that one can realize one's spiritual identity. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, Prabhupada always quote this point. Now you've come to the human form of life, you know, inquire, you know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do in the human form of life? And that's not to be, it's not to become a royal edition of the animals. Prabhupada makes this point very strongly. Huh? Because just pursuing, really, I was reading it this morning, far out. Statement that Prabhupada mentions. See if I can find it. Yeah. Here. Prabhupada says one should eat as simply as possible. Eat simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses, being very strong, will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Huh? Very good. There's some amazing purport, always amazing, but some very pertinent relevant. So, in his youth, you know, Maharaj Bharat didn't have, you know, it wasn't that he was renounced as a result of following the Varnashram system, but not as a young, in the prime of his life, he was attached to serving Krishna. And that attachment naturally gave rise to a sense of renunciation. This is what will happen in a devotee's career, in a devotee's life. When we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're naturally attracted to the a philosophical understanding of who we are and what we're supposed to do, then automatically a mood of renunciation will arise within the heart, naturally. Well, shouldn't be surprised. We see it in devotees like Raghunath Das. Right? He wanted to run away from home. His family had to round him up and bring him back. Right? He had wealth, influence, a beautiful wife, a very loving and affectionate family. You know, the things that most people want, but because of his attraction to Krishna, he was not attached. He was more attached to his, and such that Lord Nityananda had to advise him, Lord Chaitanya had to advise him, just take it easy. You're upsetting everybody with your renunciation. You know, in due course of time, your opportunity will come to leave home and dedicate yourself. So we see that. Prabhupada was mentioned in the previous verse, in the purport. We are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement. Right? And why? Because of chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada says, after chanting Hare Krishna, one then has the purity of consciousness to be able to understand the philosophy, to understand the Bhagavad Gita, to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Very powerful. And so Prabhupada says, we are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement, because so many European and American boys and girls are taking this philosophy seriously and gradually attaining perfection. Right? So Prabhupada saw it with his disciples who were living amongst the opulence of European and American and, you know, the Western culture, where people generally living in a much more opulent lifestyle than you might find in a place like India, where it's not hard to find poverty and struggle and suffering. Of course, there's suffering everywhere, and there's poverty everywhere. There's a paucity of spiritual understanding and pursuit in the Western sphere. But Prabhupada was encouraged by his disciples' mood of renunciation. They gave up everything to serve Krishna, despite coming from an opulent culture, an opulent background, which proves that, you know, these material pursuits don't make you happy. No? So Maharaj Bharat, exalted personality, very advanced, deeply absorbed in his devotional practices, such he was able to renounce. And the example is given here, just, you know, just as a person evacuates and discards the unwanted, what is here, the Sanskrit word is malavat, that which is just full of bad things, right? Stool, right? So he just gave it up. Enormous empire, wealth, wife, children. In the prime of his life, he was able to give it up for his devotional service. But the warning, the lesson to be learned from Maharaj Bharata's example is that even though he was able to give up, still we have to be very, very careful. Because Maharaj Bharata because of his soft-heartedness as a devotee, became concerned for the welfare of the baby at the time, the baby deer. And as a result of looking after the deer, he became attached to the association of the deer, and careless and careless in the performance of his devotional service, such that he committed aparad, offences. And so then his consciousness being absorbed in the deer meant that he had to take birth as a deer in his next lifetime. But because of the depth of his devotional service, he could remember. He was aware of his mistake. And so then in the next lifetime, he took birth as Jagbharata. And then as Jagbharata became very detached and very renounced, more renounced. And then avoided bad association. And this is a symptom of a devotee, we have to be very careful. Asatsangatyagai Vaishnavacha is the description of the character of a devotee, is to give up bad association. Because the Jagbharata is a good example how by bad association he had a momentary lapse in his Krishna consciousness. But the fact that he could remember who he was, and that he then went to, he, as the deer, he took shelter of the ashram of devotees, and so was able to hear again the Srimad Bhagavatam being recited. And so reawakened or kept the opportunity to keep his identity as a devotee intact, his Krishna consciousness intact, is it's a measure of his spiritual advancement. But even though he was so advanced, still he wasn't careful. And so he fell down. Right? We shouldn't become proud of what Krishna gives us. But we should appreciate that it can be taken away at any time. And Krishna will take it away if we become habituated to sense gratification and to bad, say, you know, if we're revert back to our bad habits and bad association. So this is why association of the devotees is so important, and that's what was lacking in Maharaj Bharata's practice. He was by himself in the forest. He wasn't able to take advantage of the association of the devotees. Why we should always stay in the association of the devotees? Because if we're sinking, if we're drifting into Maya, they will say, Hari Bol Prabhu, Jee Jago, wake up. Wake up, sleeping soul. So, this was his where are we? Oh, there it is there. He was able to give up what would ordinarily be difficult to give up because of his deep devotional service and realizations that came from that service, and it was reawakened It's interesting. And Prabhupada makes this point in a purport that the advancement that he made wasn't lost. Right? It may be temporarily covered. Or one may be temporarily detached or restricted by offence. But the asset that's accumulated from the performance of devotional service can never be lost. You know, the example is given of how you may have money in your bank account, but you lose your access. You may have forgotten your PIN or you lost your card or whatever, right? And so temporarily you lose access to your account, right, by some mistake or error. So by the mistake of bad association or committing offences or whatever may restrict us from accessing the asset of our devotional service. Or may even forget it for some time. But it's never lost. Niha vikrama na sosti. That verse is quoted here by Prabhupada. Svapam, what is it? Prabhupada say here. Svapam masya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. And that greatest fear is of forgetting Krishna, right? Or the greatest fear, and Prabhupada explains, is actually falling into the animal species of life or lower and forgetting one's identity. But it's interesting here. Maharaj Bharata fell into the animal species of life, but such was, and that's because of his affection for the deer, but such was the strength of his devotional service that he didn't forget Krishna. And he didn't forget his devotional identity. So this is why we're encouraged. Whatever we do in service to Krishna is a permanent asset. And there may be some temporary deflection or some temporary distraction. But that can be countered. That can be countered by staying, by associating with the devotees, by chanting Hare Krishna without offense, by hearing the discussions about Krishna. So Prabhupada says, chanting 16 rounds, reading his books regularly, Krishna will reveal to the devotee how to make, he'll give him the intelligence. Right? Chant 16 rounds, read the books. And what is it? Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. The dhami, buddhi, yogam tam. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So what do we speak of chanting 16 rounds and following the regulated principles, staying in the association of the devotees, hearing from the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. These activities are so powerful. They can remove even the reactions to our offences. Because in the association of devotees, we offer our respects to all of the devotees, even those who we might have committed offences to. We have to, it's not difficult to get free from the reactions of one's offences. Especially if one's offended the devotees, you sincerely apologise and render some service. Render service to the devotees and apologise. I'm a fool, please forgive me. Not difficult, actually. Not difficult to make advancement. And reignite that attractiveness. And so that's why the devotees pray to Krishna, please, Lord Chaitanya, when we pray to Krishna, it's not that we don't have desires, right? You can't give up desire. That's our, it's our very nature to be, to want to do things, right? To be active and want to do things, and want to do things in a particular way. And so the devotee prays, Nādhanam nājanam vasundarīm kavitam vāja vabhīśa kamayē māma jamani jamanishvari bhavatat bhoi bhakti ahoyti kītvayē. Please give me an opportunity to render service to you, Krishna, without personal motivation, without material desires. But that doesn't mean you can't have spiritual desires. So the devotee prays for an opportunity to render service without material desires. And why we offer prayers to the devotees and worship and glorify the devotees and value their association, because in the association of the devotees, one gets an opportunity to learn how to practice this service without material motivation. Which is, you know, very much the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And that pure devotional service is free from a desire for material benefit, free even from a desire for liberation, even though liberation automatically comes to a devotee. And the prayer of, you know, a pure devotee is, please let me work for the benefit of others. Let everybody be benefited by the performance of devotional service, pure devotional service. And that's the desire of a devotee. A devotee desires the welfare of others, and that they also be engaged in pure devotional service. It's such an attractive experience, such a satisfying experience. What is it? Santim gatvani gacchati, for a devotee who's engaged in devotional service, and he's peaceful. He's not worried about his own personal situation, but rather he's more concerned for the welfare of others. And that devotee is very dear to Krishna. Krishna is conquered by the mood of a devotee who desires the welfare of others. And that welfare being, you know, situated in their constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. That's the most important relationship that we can have, and then automatically all of the other relationships fall into place. So, yadushya jan chitti sutta svajanata daran. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it, yet he gave it up. So, the characteristic or the nature of a devotee is to live in the association of the devotees, and in the association of the devotees, one is able to remain steady in one's devotional practice. And if there's been some deviation or some disturbance in one's devotional life, as is witnessed here by Jagbara, that's not the end of everything. But while we worship and you know, offer our obeisances to the devotees, because in the association of the devotees, it doesn't matter what we've done before, we can be freed from the reactions of our past misdeeds. and confusion and distractions. And so that association, it's interesting. Jad Bharat lived at a time when people could perform devotional practices and make spiritual advancement by themselves, but even he had difficulty. Even though it was possible, he had difficulty. And that's not, his example is actually not to be followed. And you can see he had the problems. He had the difficulty because of not associating with devotees. And that's why Srila Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the devotees could come together. Of course, sometimes that's difficult. Devotees squabble, fight, whatever. Depending on how advanced they are. And so that can be a challenge in and of itself. And sometimes devotees misbehave. It's the history's there. But still, the benefits that come from associating with the devotees, even though they may have some faults, is that the opportunity is there. What is it? The Panchanga Bhakti, the five Angas of Bhakti can be engaged in and enjoyed in the association of devotees, even though devotees might have some faults. Generally, those faults are overlooked. Of course, we shouldn't be sentimental about our relationship with the devotees. Some, quite frankly, some devotees should be avoided. and Rupa Goswami recommends that. It's just they're not very advanced. And so their association, because they're still attracted to and attached to material enjoyment, we should avoid them. But be respectful, right? Dikshasti chet. Now, what is it? Krishneti yasya giri dam manasadriyeta. If we see a devotee who chants Hare Krishna, but he may not be very advanced, we should still respect that person because they're a devotee. But if they're a pedophile or they're a thief or whatever, And there are people, unfortunately, there are people like that. Then we have to keep them, at a distance. Right? We have to keep them at a distance. But we should respect them because they're devotees. They're better than the kami. And then Krishneti yasya, what is it? Dikshasti chet pranati bispa chantamisham. One who's engaged in rendering service to Krishna, to the deity especially, and who's initiated, and following, then we should offer our obeisances, right? Pranati bispa, offer our pranams. Physically offer our obeisances to such devotees. Those who are chanting Hare Krishna but still engaged in material activities, we should keep our distance and respect them from a distance. But we make friends with the Madhyam Adhikari, makes friends with his peers, and shares, Rupa Goswami explains, he shares the Tadati Pratigrinati Guyamatyati Prichati Bhunte Bojayate Chaiva Sadvidhim Priti Lakshana. He shares the six exchanges of affection with like-minded devotees who are on the path of perfection through the purification of the heart by the sadhana process. So we value and respect and honour the association of the sadhakas. And those who are purifying the heart. Because we want to be one of those too. But we have to be careful. And this is the lesson to be learned from Jug Bharat. He was by himself, isolated somewhat, became affectionate to the deer, which is a measure of his compassion, but it was a mistake. Right? And led to him having to take another birth. In the animal species, which ordinarily that would be it, or for some time that would be it. But because of his exalted position, he didn't forget. But he's a warning to us. Stay in the association of the devotees. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow the rules and regulations. And so be a sadhaka. To at least maintain the level of advancement that one has achieved. Otherwise, it's not difficult to lose it. That's also the point. Not difficult to lose it. Or lose our connection. That's why in the association of devotees, we don't lose our connection to our past devotional, to the benefits of our past devotional service. And that may also include material prosperity. It will. Material prosperity, spiritual prosperity, they go together. But the devotee, an advanced devotee, doesn't use the material prosperity for sense gratification, but rather keeps life simple. Right? And in that way, we share Krishna's opulence and even his fame. You know, we'll be just, we got an email the other day from someone who, you know, left a telephone number that doesn't, that looks like it was just made up, and an email address that bounced. But they were criticizing you, Hare Krishna's breaking up families. You're forcing, one of your gurus is forcing people to pass exams. It must be me, I suppose, because I'm the one who sits there. Right? And apparently, well, it looks like... So, but anyway, criticising us. You know, there's one of the devotees' families having... They're having a dispute, I suppose, over how seriously we should take Hare Krishna's ISKCON, right? So they're complaining about us. There'll always be something to complain about. You know, we think... Well, we've got a strong educational culture in our community and this is making strong devotees, but somebody else is saying, no, no, this is bad, you're breaking up families. Some dispute. Well. So, well, at least they're complaining about the Hare Krishnas. The Prabhupada says that as a result, what is that? The Hare Krishna people should be chastised. Well, Prabhupada's saying we're experiencing it because our preaching is successful and people are complaining. You're breaking up families because one part of the family obviously wants to be devotees and the other part doesn't want to take it so seriously. Right? But we're not breaking up families. This is just some fault finding. Your choice what you want to do. Of course, a neophyte often gets a little bit too vigorous and enthusiastic sometimes about what they're doing. They want to push others around. They want to save them from becoming hogs, dogs, camels and asses, right? So, the Prabhupada says here, such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement. But the mere fact that they want to criticize it gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, potent. The chanting of Hare Krishna is potent and powerful. The chanting of Hare Krishna in the association of devotees is more potent, more powerful. And in the association of the devotees, hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and relishing, understanding and appreciating and relishing the pastimes of Maharaj Bharata. You know, these are stories. This is not about you're not the body. Well, it is about, it's not just about you're not the body. But the example of Maharaj Bharata, not the body, but taking birth in three lifetimes, right? And the stage of his, the stages of his development into a very advanced devotee, but then also the pitfalls. Right? So very instructive what we learn here from Maharaj Bharata. And the culture, you know, this is Vedic culture. That we pursue the understanding of our spiritual identity. You know, as Ajit was telling me yesterday and the day before, there's an argument going on amongst the, and this is here's the benefit of Facebook. Here's the benefit of the association of devotees in the wrong environment, right? One devotee was saying how the Hare Krishna movement is part of Indian culture, right? And we shouldn't say that we're not Hindus, because we are. Because Prabhupada says we're not Hindus. We're not Indians, we're not Australians, we're not female, we're not male. But rather we're spirit. And that's the pursuit of that identity. That spiritual identity is what we do, that's our culture. And that's the culture of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It transcends Indian, Australian, American, whatever. It transcends all of that. Tamil.
Canada.
Yeah, Maharashtrian. Marathi, whatever, transcends that. Right? And why, that's why the devotees are so exalted. Right? And why Prabhupada, it's very interesting, Prabhupada's godbrothers minimized the efforts of his disciples. Next lifetime you'll be a devotee. Right? But Prabhupada really was disgusted by that. Because the culture, and that's what we're hearing in the Bhagavatam and seeing in Maharaj Bharata's life, that pursuit of one's spiritual identity that transcends, you know, the animal species, the human species, the demigod species, all of that. And it's done very simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And basically understanding the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and rendering service. And for us, preaching, book distribution, Harinam, Prasadam, worshipping the deities, keeping the temple clean. You know, this is our preaching, right? But it's not complicated. It's very simple. Difficult to do, right? But not hard. Do you know what I mean? Not difficult. What we do is not that hard. And effective for anybody that does it. So that's why Prabhupada's saying here, you know, I appreciate this, the value of this movement, because I see how it's been embraced by everybody. And so Prabhupada knew everybody can do this. Right? Everybody can do it. And everybody can get the benefits. There's no, because it is spiritual culture, it transcends designation. It transcends the constraints that are put upon us by the material energy. It completely transcends that. Then we're able to see the benefits for everyone, appreciative. the benefits for everyone being engaged in this. So it's not India. Okay, it comes out, it looks like it comes out of India, right? But actually it comes from the spiritual world. And because of that pious culture, that location is a place where Krishna chose to perform his pastime. So in that regard, very, very special, right? But those activities, that service to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, in absorbing oneself in the culture of the, we would call it Aryan, right? Prabhupada calls it Aryan or Varnashram culture, right? But the real purpose is to transcend the material and come to the point of understanding one's spiritual identity. That's what it's all about. And anybody can do that, Prabhupada's saying. Yes, I see it's effective because even the Americans and the Europeans are doing it and they're becoming advanced. Huh? Interesting what Prabhupada says. Every important individual within this world must have heard of Krishna. Huh? This is due to the Krishna consciousness movement. And people who don't like us want to suppress us. Yep. But the benefits are there, and that's what we're learning from Bharat Maharaj. You know, how he pursued his Krishna consciousness over three lifetimes. And even though he made a mistake, he was successful. Right? So even there may be some personal setbacks or some difficulties, we should be prepared for that. It's not, you know, unusual, you know, or a surprise. Bharat Maharaj was our advanced, right? But he had some difficulty. So we shouldn't be surprised. And Prabhupada says, Ajamil, Bharat Maharaj, and others, examples. But we can learn from this that we should be careful. A little attention will retard our devotional service, but only for the time being. Yet any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of God, it is never lost. So keep at it. Don't give up. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any realizations they want to share? Priya?
So if someone does like this spiritual advancement up to a certain point, and instead of inattention and fall down, they actually commit Vaishnava Pradas.
Yep.
And Vaishnava Pradas set to root out the Bhakti Kripa altogether.
What was that last sentence?
It said to root out the Bhakti Kripa, just pulls it out by the root. And
yes, it can.
So then how will the Bhakti be preserved in line with Krishna?
Stay in the association of devotees. Well, see, you have to be doing something pretty atrocious to completely lose your, you know, to completely lose the association of the devotees and the opportunity to render service. That would be a pretty major offence, right? But generally speaking, if you're staying in the association, you know, we don't commit that kind of offence. But look, Maharaj Bharat didn't do anything terribly offensive when you think about it, right? Yet, a little inattention can create havoc. right, in various ways. So it doesn't only, it's not only offences to the devotees. There can be other things as well. Or just attachment to, you know, whatever it is that you know. You know, for me, when I was a youth, it was rock and roll music, you know. Music. I like to listen to music. It's an attachment. So you have to be careful. You know, I know I've been, you know, driving in the city, it's a hot summer day, and somebody's got their car stereo going, you know. And you go, oh, I remember that song. What was that? And so there's attachment. But it's a little thing. Little things. So, it's not often that devotees commit big aparads. But they look, it is possible. It has been done. Right. But it can be overcome. If you offend somebody and you're aware of it, you apologize. That's how you solve that particular. You apologize and don't do it again. Avoid, you know. But it's not difficult to mitigate. The mitigating strategy, you know. Most of these things are not difficult to mitigate. Stay in the association of devotees, chant Hare Krishna, do some, you know, render service to the devotees and to Krishna. You know, when Budi Manta Khan was cursed by the Nawab, they sprinkled, you know, water on him and he was converted into a Muslim. Well, so called. And he went to Lord Chaitanya. Well, he went to the Brahmanas and they said, you know, drink ghee, drink boiling lead, you know, that's not going to happen. The prior citta was, you know, worse, it would kill him. But then when he mentioned it to Lord Chaitanya, he just laughed. Lord Chaitanya just laughed. He said, chant Hare Krishna. Okay. Ooh. Anything else?
Seems, I mean, Maharaj Bharat's life itself is so unique, you know, as son of...
Unique? There. No, not unique. There are so many devotees here. In those days, perhaps unique, but now there's so many Maharaj Bharatas in our community. No? Elevated devotees. We actually have so many elevated. So, what's not unique is that each one of us is facing our challenges as a devotee, which is what he did. So even though very elevated, at the same time also an ordinary devotee. When you think about it, right? We think, oh, exalted devotees, they don't have any problems, I'm the only one who has a problem. Right? But really we can learn from Bharat Maharaj's lives, that even exalted devotees have challenges. You know, everybody likes to think that when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, then there were no problems in ISKCON. It's full of problems. Just Prabhupada didn't complain about it. And he only, you see, and Prabhupada had, you know, what is it? Gunagrahi is looks for the good. Adosha Darshi doesn't see the bad. Or, we shouldn't be so simple. We should be simple-hearted, but we should also appreciate if somebody's a rascal, they keep him away. Right? rascals should be dealt with appropriately. We shouldn't see rascals as exalted personalities if they're not. Because that doesn't mean, you know, we can walk around the place, you know, telling everybody they're a rascal also either. But it's a fine gunagraha. It means look at the good, don't see the bad. But in some situations, you know, you do have to acknowledge, that guy's a rascal, we better keep him away. There are some behaviours that even though they're devotees, we have to protect the whole community from. Right? That's, you know, crazy people.
Envious.
Huh?
Envious people.
Envious people. Yeah, even there are envious devotees, unfortunately. We shouldn't be one of them. But, yeah, there are. There are, unfortunately. So, you know, following in Prabhupada's footsteps, Prabhupada appreciated everybody, encouraged everybody, but also understood, you know, that Hare Krishna, it's a bit like a mental hospital, you know, some people are sicker than others. And in the mental hospital, some people have to be, you know, put in a straight, you know, restrained, right? Or at least kept away from everybody else because they just create too much of a disturbance. Now, on the whole, that's not everybody. That's a small... And we try to look at their good qualities, but at the same time, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Okay, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai, Maharaj Bharata ki jai.